You know, everybody's trying to be sure of things, okay? I'm sure that the Jews are behind everything. I'm sure that it's just the Rockefellers. I'm sure that it's just the Rothschilds. I'm sure that it's just the Council on Foreign Relations. I'm sure that it's just the Trilateral Commission. I'm sure that it's just the City of London. I'm sure that it's the Vatican. I'm sure that it's Washington, D.C. I'm sure it's Barack Obama that's behind absolutely everything. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Stop trying to think that you'll ever have it all figured out. Doesn't mean stuff can't be figured out. But stop trying to think that at any point you're going to stop learning and have it all sussed. That's freaking retarded. Okay? How big is the world? Pretty freaking huge, right? Much bigger than your living room, isn't it? How familiar are you with your living room? Very familiar. It's your freaking living room. You positioned the furniture around there, didn't you? You go into the next door neighbor's living room that you haven't met before, all of a sudden you're in a completely different environment and you don't know what the hell's going on. You don't know where everything's supposed to be and what have you. You don't even know the rules are. You don't even know whether or not you need to take off your frickin' shoes before you enter the lodgings. Okay? See? You don't know everything. And as soon as you think that you got everything figured out, that's when you'll discover something that makes you look like an idiot. So, I came up with a saying. Person who thinks he knows everything knows nothing. And the person who thinks that he knows very little knows enough. Right? That's basically my philosophy here. Keep learning, keep exposing, and keep looking. Okay? Because as soon as you decide that you've made a decision, you know, I'm going to plant my flag, okay, it's the Jews. Okay? And I'm going to go up on YouTube comment sections and every single Facebook post for everybody, and I'm going to comment in full capital letters with links to really, really shoddy websites that don't know how to do their research to prove to everybody that it's the Jews, it's the Jews, it's the Jews. I freaking hate those people. And there are variants of that exact same mentality in damn near every sector of the conspiracy industry. And when you come at, bear in mind, I use the word conspiracy industry literally. This is an industry. Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen. The difference being that this is an industry that is allegedly supposed to be making money off of telling the truth and doing the right thing. There might be very many people in this industry who don't tell the truth, who don't do the right thing, but it doesn't change the fact that it's still an industry based upon those principles, or at least allegedly so. And so if you're going to wind up making any headway, you've got to do two things. Number one, realize it ain't about you. All right? You're one fish in a giant, endless sea. Number two, don't assume that people move from being a brainwashed slave who believes everything the government says and believes everything the mainstream media says, who's an alcoholic and a drug abuser or something of that nature. Don't assume that just because they've woken up to a little thing called the New World Order, that suddenly all of those bad habits, all of that mind control, and all of that stupidity just suddenly disappears because, oh, I'm now a truther. We are damaged people, all of us, and we all used to be asleep. And don't blame people who are yet to be awake, okay? Did you wake up because somebody blamed you for being asleep? No, you didn't, did you? Actually, it was because somebody tried to tell you the truth, and instead of ignoring them that one time, you wound up going out and doing a little bit of research, and then a rabbit hole opens up, and you do more and more and more and more and more research until you get to the point where you freak out, okay? And you have to change your entire life, and you can't keep doing what you're doing. Be compassionate.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And you are right. There's a lot of people out there who, you know, they won't wake up. They just can't. They're scared to look at this because it's, as you said earlier, it is traumatic. It's a traumatic experience. You have to go through this shockwave to really wake you up. That's why they call it waking up, because before that you're asleep and it just, you know, when you're awake you're like that, you know, it's,
but that's where the analogy
moving,
but that's where the analogy ends for some people. Oh, I wake up. Okay, well, think about the take the analogy through to its logical conclusion. Let's say literally,
then you gotta rise after that. Okay, you gotta rise after you wake up.
Yeah, you gotta get out of bed, right? And what do you normally do after you get out of bed in the morning? You go take a wiki leak, don't you? Because you've got crap in your system that you need to expel that's accumulated and built up over the time that you were asleep. Okay? That emotionally speaking, that's what you got to do. You have to purge all of that crap out of your system. Then, after you've purged a bit of the crap out of the system, what else do you do then after you've done that? Well, you've got to have some breakfast, some coffee or something like that, and you've got to not only be awake, but you've actually got to be energized. You've got to give yourself energy for the fight that is ahead. What do you do after you've energized yourself in the morning? Well, you go to work, don't you? Okay? You wake up to the New World Order. Purge all of its brainwashing crap from you. Energize yourself with information and then go out and fight against these people. Go to work. Get it done. And bear in mind that even people who have a slave job get holidays. There's another thing that truthers don't get as well. Give yourself some frickin' time off now and then. Otherwise, you just drive yourself insane. You overwork yourself, and you're incapable. Personally, I have to do this thing full time because of a psychological thing. I call it employer phobia, a fear of being employed. And this is a real illness, I know, because I made it up with no scientific evidence, just like all the other real mental illnesses. And what it means is that if I go into a job interview, the thought of selling people things, I used to be a salesman, can't you tell? Telemarketer, the worst kind of salesman, can't you tell? You take all that in, and all of my memories of those bad work experiences and everything start coming up in my mind again. Even my best friend Jono was going to give me a job doing door knocking, selling insulation for people. Okay, and the night before I had a panic attack, like a full-on panic attack, like fully hyperventilating and everything like that. I literally can't work anymore. I'm physically incapable of doing it. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm lazy. If anything, I work harder than any media personality in this entire country. Like, and it's not even arguable.
You don't have an editing team. You don't have a team behind you. It's one guy doing it.
I do.
It's a lot of work.
I do what 10 people can't do in a shorter period of time, half the time.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, it's not because I'm Superman. It's because I'm bright and I'm lazy. Okay? Let me qualify. Because I'm lazy, I don't like working real hard. And because I'm bright, I figure out ways that I can accomplish something that appears like a lot without actually having to work as hard as other people would spend in order to accomplish it. Okay? Sort out methodologies and whatnot. I once cut together 3 full-length documentaries with multiple camera angles in 3 nights.
Yeah,
it normally takes somebody a year to do one. Okay? I've got that methodology of getting stuff done as quickly as humanly possible down to a T. That's why I appear to accomplish so much in short periods of time. That's why I can do 10 times as much work as most people do. Because I've been doing it for long enough that all of my methodologies are down. It's a well-oiled machine. There's no messing around. And the job just needs to be done every single day. And because I don't have to go into an office, because I don't have to pay for gas in order to do so, and because I don't have a slave job that I have to work at 40 hours a week, I can and do spend minimum of 12, usually upwards of 14, sometimes 16-hour days editing and exposing scumbaggery. And I don't feel like I'm accomplishing as much as I hope to as yet. It would be nice to have a team. I would like to be able to upgrade and expand the operation to include things that are of real value, credibility, and what have you, and basically do very similar job to what Alex Jones has done with InfoWars, except I'll be doing it with Guerrilla Media, with a much smaller budget, far more dedicated, multi-talented people in the thing, and people are able to make their own money as a result of doing these things. And I think that if I can teach others to do what I'm doing, it would be just a massive, forgive me for using the vaccine analogy, a shot in the arm for the human information immune system, all right? And it's kind of like, I consider myself sort of like an information white blood cell. I seek out the cancerous viral weaponry that they're sending downstream with their fallacies and BS and outright lies and scumbaggery, and I kill and destroy and attack that stuff. Because it's not good for the human race, is it? It's just not
absolutely
good.
Absolutely not. It's funny that you say that it's like a cancerous growth, because that's what it is. And also, I wanted to mention, you're talking about how, you know, you can't know everything. You know, you're stupid if you think you do. A good analogy to kind of shape that out is everything in life grows, and knowledge and wisdom is kind of the same thing. When you're learning, you're growing as an individual. Your mind is growing, your body's growing. And if you look in nature, everything in nature grows as well. You know, the trees, the plants grow. And when they stop growing, they're dying. So when you stop learning, or you say to yourself, I know everything, there's nothing more I could learn, then you're pretty much waiting to die, essentially. That's one thing I've always said.
It's
sure.
Like retiring, isn't it? You know, a lot of people, yeah, when they would retire after working their entire life, get depressed and die soon after, because they suddenly find that there's no actual meaning to their life, and they wasted their entire life working for somebody else who didn't give a crap about them and gives them a cheap gold watch, like on speed.
yeah, for sure. Now, definitely.
I don't know about you, Mark. In fact, I do know about you, because you're very similar to me in this respect. I realize that the human race needs my help. I realize that the human race needs all of us. All of us. We all have inherent abilities, talents, skills, etc., that can actually help to expose the scumbaggery and advance the human race down a path to betterment. However, most people are in denial of this. Not for reasons of their own volition, but because the system teaches you two words: learned helplessness. If you think that you're helpless, you decide not to help. That's people's problems, I think. And as soon as you get off your ass and you actually start doing something, that's when you realize, not before, but after you've done something that requires a lot of courage, that's when you realize how much courage it took. That's when you realize how much courage you actually have. That's how you realize that you are not made of glass. You don't just shatter at the first sign of trouble. You actually can take a hit. And I encourage people to go out there and inflict pain on themselves. Not in a cutting your own wrists or with razor blades or anything like that sense of the word. I'm talking about psychological pain. You need to be feeling senses of rejection. You need to be working so hard that your legs almost give out on you on your way to the kitchen to get another coffee, because you're so tired that you can't, that you haven't really got any energy left in your body, yet you keep working. Push yourself to the limits. Test every single orifice in your body for what it can handle and what it cannot. If you do not push yourself through these trials, through this trauma, you will never become what you were hoping to become. There was a great motivational speech, and this
just heard one.
yeah. But this dude wanted to make money, okay? And so this guru says, okay, well, join me at 4 a.m. on the beach. This is Venice Beach, California. And so he turns up to the beach at 4 o'clock, and he's dressed in a suit and tie, you know? He's just like, I think this guy's going to teach him money, how to make money. And the guy's like sitting there going, why are you dressed in a suit and tie coming to the beach, mate? And he's like, well, I thought we were going to be like doing business and stuff. And he's like, okay, well, walk into the water then. He's like, but I'm dressed in a suit. Do you want to make money or not? And he goes, yeah, okay, all right. So he walks into the water fully clothed. And he's up to his knees. And the guru says, go out further. And he goes out further, and he's up to his chest. And he goes, go out even further. And he goes out, and he's up to his neck. And he goes, okay, just hold it there for a minute. And he goes, how much do you want to make money? How much? And he says, well, I really, really do. And he goes, okay, put your head under the water. He's like, what? Put your head under the water. So he does. And he's sitting there. He's got his head under the water, starts running out of breath, and then starts to come back up. And the guru holds his head under the water. And the guy starts struggling as hard as he can to try and get him out. And then the guru lets his head up. And he goes, man, you're just trying to drown me. He says, no, I'm teaching you a lesson. You want to make money? You got to want it. You got to want it as much as you wanted that breath right now. You want to stay up at 4 o'clock in the morning working and what have you when everybody else wants to have their sleep in beddy buys? Those people won't make any money. You will, because you're up there. You're there for those opportunities. You're there to take those important business calls from Europe at 5 o'clock in the morning. Okay, you get up. You're motivated for that. Okay, and I thought this was actually quite a profound lesson. Is people are too freaking comfortable, aren't they, Mark?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get comfortable, and it's the way the world is designed for that. The political systems, the industries, all that stuff is designed to keep us like that, to keep us contained and occupied. That's what they call a job, an occupation. And I totally have to agree with what you were saying there before about having a fear to go to work and work, you know, because I recently went through the same thing as I mentioned earlier. I just started working like a couple weeks ago at a call center, by the way. So I'm doing the same thing you were doing. It's scumbaggery, I would say, in my opinion, too. But at the same time, we got to make money. There comes a time where we have bills to pay. We have in rising cost in rent, rising cost of food, rising cost of cell phone bills, rising cost of electricity, water, hydro, all this stuff. Yet we have the technology and the knowledge to change all that. Yet these systems are in place. They're like they're blocking us, you know. And that's why it is important that, like you say, we need to fight this. We need to feel that pain and that urge to want it. And then only then will it succeed.
Yeah. So. And that analogy that I was giving was about a person who wanted money as much as he wanted his next breath so he could survive. I want to expose scumbaggery as much as I want my next breath to survive. Because, and this is a very good reason for doing that, if the scumbaggery is not exposed, if these people are not opposed, there will be no breath for me or anybody ever again. Not a free breath. Not a clean breath. No breath whatsoever. We're going to get exterminated. And I think that was actually probably my main motivation, is because I value my life. I don't want to die before my time. I want to live a long, full life. I want to know people who do wonderful things, who think incredible thoughts, who speak powerful truths. I don't want to die before I've heard as much as I possibly can. I don't want my life to be restricted, nor my mind, nor my soul. I want to expand out in every direction like the light from a sun. And if you ever get to the point in your life where you feel like giving up, where you feel like it's just not worth it anymore, take a couple of weeks off. All right, we all get like that. It's actually really, really hard doing this for a living, emotionally speaking, because you're talking to people every single day who've suffered trauma, and if you hear their trauma, part of it comes off of them. And if you're empathetic like me, it comes on to you and it attaches itself to you. I had a woman come around to my house who had whose child was being groomed by pedophiles. And those pedophiles actually happened to be the people who run the childcare services in this country and write the laws for them. And with a phone call, they were able to get her locked in a mental institution for trying to expose them. And at the same time, she had cancer. And at the same time, they're forcibly doping her up. And at the same time, again and again and again, all these different terrible things. After she left my house that day, I spent 6 hours talking to her, and she wouldn't be quiet for even 1 minute of those 6 hours, constantly hearing all this terrible stuff that had happened to her. I was so emotionally drained by that. It was like the lifeblood has been sucked out of me, that I was like, okay, I'm going to drink one of those bottles of wine that we didn't finish of our wedding. I'm drinking it right now. You know, I just had to get really, really, really just blind faced drunk just in order to deal with the fact that all this stuff really does go on and there's nothing I can do about it. You know?
Well, we can do some things, but it is essentially, there's a big, it's hard to say what to do, right? That's the problem. It is really hard to say what to do when you're just one person, I think.
Well, the thing is, you can't change things that have already happened, was my point.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
Can't do anything to change that. Much like in my life, I've got past trauma with work and at university that was really, really tough as well, and I've been kind of like overweight my entire life, and in fact I was just remembering this morning what it was like when I was 11 years old at St. Peter's College, and there were 31 kids in my class, and there were two of them including me that didn't tease me all day every day for being fat. That, you know, just trying to remember back then what it felt like to be all alone. And the other person who wasn't abusing me just didn't do anything. They weren't my friend or anything. I had no friends in that class. I was surrounded by enemies and cruel kids. And that was quite painful. And I think that's part of the thing that has really damaged me. And I don't know how to get over these traumas. I don't know why I keep thinking about them, because they happened and they're gone. Yet the memory never goes away. It reminds me of the Will Smith film, The Legend of Bag of Vance. And Matt Damon was in it, and he was like a golf pro who'd like totally messed up, and he'd become like a full-on alcoholic. A child asking him, you know, you're a great golf pro, why are you just like drinking all the time? And he says something along the lines of, well, you can drink so much liquor and then you forget who you are first of all, and then you start acting like a different person because it kills some of your brain cells and it stops you from being who you are to a degree. But there's these some bitches that are in your mind. These are the memory parts of your mind that take a hell of a lot more alcohol to kill. And he wanted to kill his memories so that he wouldn't have to remember, he wouldn't have to feel what it felt like to be a failure. And I actually really resonated with that, because I would love to be able to forget how much of a pain in the ass it was to be a kid, how frustrating it was to go through all of high school, how painful it was to be the most talented person working at a really large company and being asked to leave within 5 minutes because I wrote a 7-page essay about what was wrong with the company and ensuring that I never had any of those issues that were affecting all of the employees of the company addressed. I always cared about other people because I guess it's because nobody really cared about me. That's what it felt like to a large degree. That said, another part of my memory that I really don't want to lose is favoritism. I've been a favorite of people. I have a really profound influence. Because I'm quite genuine, people get me right away or they hate me right away. If they're a false piece of crap themselves, they'll hate me right away. They'll try and make my life hell. But if they're genuine, like me, if they're kind, if they're loving, if they're nurturing and what have you, they protect me. They love me. They care for me. My wife's like that. My friends are like that. A lot of my colleagues in the truth movements are like that. Whenever I even express even the slightest emotional outburst on Facebook or Skype or anything like that, I have this plethora of people just coming at me going, Vinny, are you okay? Vinny, do you need help? Vinny, do you need this? Vinny, do you need that? And I was like, what a great juxtaposition. To go from being surrounded by people who are giving you abuse for no good reason to being surrounded by people who are your emotional support base just because they're genuine like me. And I think that's actually quite a profound realization that I'm only just having now. And I just
that's a good one.
I just want to let everybody know how grateful I am. Because I get ruled by my emotions to a large degree. I mean, I may be happy and jovial and philosophical and whatnot from time to time, but at the end of the day, my pain and my rage is just underneath the surface here. It's just underneath. And it's so easy to have it come out, and people can just pull my strings like a puppet, and I'll start getting really, really angry and enraged. Like, I don't know, you may not have ever seen me angry, but I actually really scare people. I scare the hell out of them. And when I hear recordings of myself acting that way that I do, it even scares me. So I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know entirely what's wrong with the world. All I know is whatever the hell is going on right now, it's not freaking good enough. And if you stop trying to improve yourself, if you stop trying to do a bit of introspection and learn from your own mistakes, if you stop trying to care about other people, if you stop trying to have any form of self-improvement, you're already dead. It's like that learned helplessness thing. No matter how bad things get, you can still breathe. That means you're still alive. That means you're not dead yet. And until you die, there is no reason to ever give up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like what you were going through when you were younger, you chose the right path. You chose to deal with it in a certain way as you grew older, because a lot of people, they do go through that kind of treatment. It's a cruel world out there, especially in schools and educational systems with the youth and stuff. And our TV and our media teaches us to be divided and be against each other and all that stuff, and to ridicule each other. And all too often, when people are ridiculed at a young age, they take the negative path. They become depressed, the criminals. They kill other people. They have no caring or compassion. They end up overdosing. There's all sorts of problems that can evolve because of that. But it's good to see that you chose the right path and you're doing a good thing and you're actually helping people now. Somebody who went through that is now helping somebody. And that's the transition, I think, that a lot of people need to do. They need to see the world for what it is and not take that wrong path. And I commend you for what you're doing. You're a scholar and a gentleman, sir. I got to say that for sure.
Yeah, I know. I am pretty awesome, and that's actually the other element of my personality, is I don't lie to myself about how good I am at what I do. Everybody else seems to be really bashful because they don't want everybody to see them as being too full of themselves. Well, at the end of the day, I have perfect justification for everything that I do. I have emotional justification, financial justification, physical justification, and pretty much any form of justification you can really conceive of. That's how I live my life. I don't like people who live their life when they don't have any justification for doing these things that they do. And so naturally, I've decided I won't ever become one of those douchebags.
Good stuff. And yeah, one thing I didn't get to mention earlier when we were talking about your show and stuff, seeing as you have met a lot of people and talked to a lot of people through your show, you've had countless guests on your show, and you've, as I could see, and I'm sure you have, you've learned quite a bit from these guests. Who would you say is the best guest that you've had on, or what are some of the most memorable experiences you've had doing what you do, broadcasting on the Vinny Eastwood Show?
I think Cliff High comes to mind from halfpasthuman.com. He was a really good interview. Lindsay Williams was always fun. In fact, because I'm only 29, I have a lot of people who listen to my show and I interview on my show, and people who are my friends who are all older than me, in a lot of cases significantly older than me. And it occurs to me that I've been accumulating knowledge and wisdom beyond my years for so long that now people recognize that I have knowledge and wisdom beyond my years. Here's the problem. all those people have shared their hard-earned and hard-won knowledge with me for free. I haven't earned any of the knowledge that they have given me. That's why I tried, at least in some ways, to be humble in the fact that knowing that I don't know everything, knowing that I haven't talked to everybody. I remember somebody asked me once, you know, if you go down the list of the interviews on my show, it's insane the amount of variation that is there in terms of the different guests. I've got to go in 5 minutes to be on another show, by the way, Mark, so we'll have to wrap it up. But somebody asked me once, Vinny, oh my God, is there anybody that you haven't interviewed? And I said, billions. Yeah. Right? You know, because... Yeah. One thing somebody told me, I think it might have been my producer, Mitch Santel. By the way, if you ever want to hire somebody who can tutor you into radio and turn you into like a machine of talk radio, you go and you search for Mitch Santel and you hire his ass. Oh my God, he's unbelievable. He's like a cheerleader with pom poms and kind of thing for you, you know. But everybody's got a story. Everybody, you know. I take on people who have never been on radio before, don't even have a good radio voice, don't even have much of a website or anything like that, or basically they only just have a Facebook page profile or whatever that they post a few links on, and I bring them on the show for 3 hours, and we actually have a really good time, have a really good conversation, like you're sitting at a cafe meeting somebody who's really fabulous that you just met, the difference being that tens of thousands of people are listening, right? And I think it's because I really have been the underdog, and so hence I have an affinity for them, to stand up with them and behind them. I think it gives me such a unique perspective on how the world works, and indeed my, I don't know, emotional need to rebel, you know, in the Star Trek Spock sense of the word, is partly driven by the fact that I've had all these traumas in the past. So, you know, I think that's basically the lesson of alchemy, isn't it? You take what's there and you take it into something that is impossible to make from it, you know, but you do it anyway, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. That is life. We grow, right? We change. We need to change. If you're not changing, you're staying the same. And as we said, just waiting to die, I guess. You're not growing and learning anything. So, but yeah, you do got to get going for your interview there. And I just wanted to take this time to thank you very much for coming on the show. I think it was a very good interview and, you know, very heartfelt and inspirational. That's the word, I think, for the show is inspirational. I think you're going to give people words of wisdom to go home and think about and really, you know, empower them to do something about this. And yeah. I really hope that you could keep your show going, Vinny. You deserve it. And I have faith. I have faith that you're going to keep going for all sure, right, buddy.
Thank you. And also, ladies and gentlemen, remember, I am in desperate need of about $900 within the next few days. So please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and donate right now. Now, the knowledge that I may have imparted on you or in any inspiration that you've gotten, just remember what Tom Hanks said to Matt Damon in Saving Private Ryan. Earn it. Earn this. People have died and suffered their entire lives so that this knowledge can be passed on to me so that I can pass it on to you. I'm trying to earn it by passing it on. Don't make it be in vain. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll see you later at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, I guess.
Yeah, vinnyeastwood.com. Check the show out. And when is your show live, just for the listeners?
It's not live. Pre-recorded. 3 hours a day now.
Okay, yeah. Right. So constant flow of information. Check them out every day. Daily Vinny Eastwood.
All right.
Thanks for being on the show, Vinny.
Thanks, Mike.
See you later. Best of luck with the interview. Cheers.